It's good that as people drive by tonight, they see some cars out front. It's very important that they see cars out front, that they see, well, there's the Church of Christ in Granby meeting on what much of the religious world calls Easter, meeting on the evening of Easter. Probably many religious groups will not be meeting tonight for a number of reasons. But I think it's important that we are here. I think there's a reason for us to assemble. And therefore, it's important that when people go by, they see that we're meeting. Because meeting and assembling is the right thing to do, and it's the wise thing to do. There's a portion of the Bible that's often called wisdom literature. And that would include books like Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and maybe parts of Job and parts of Song of Solomon. That part of the Bible is often given that title, wisdom literature, because in it, by inspiration, we see various ones, whether it's David or Job or Solomon or whomever, addressing some of the very difficult struggles that people have in life. Look at the example of Job, for instance. We see people addressing what is truth. We see the individuals discussing in these books how to live a life so that when it's over, you have lived life well. A well-lived life. And what it means to have a well-lived life. What is really important in life. And these books that I just mentioned address those things, and that's why they're often lumped together and called wisdom literature. Well, in these books, especially in the book of Proverbs, we have short proverbial sayings. And often in those sayings, there's a contrast between two things. And tonight, we're going to look at the contrast between the wise and the fool. The wise person and the foolish person. The book of Proverbs, and then also in the book of Ecclesiastes to a lesser extent, but primarily in the book of Proverbs, this collection of wise proverbial sayings addresses who is the wise and who is the fool. And as those questions are addressed, then the reader is challenged to say, or to choose, which path will I follow? Will I follow the path of the wise, or will I follow the path of the fool? Often when we want to look at what something is, we look at, first of all, what it isn't. Primarily, I want to focus tonight on the fool. That's basically the name of the lesson. The fool. Who is the fool? What does the fool represent? Well, it's interesting that on the opposite side, the wise person or wisdom is used in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Proverbs, in a number of ways. Let's begin our search tonight in Proverbs chapter 10, and we'll first look briefly at wisdom. What it is that the individual wants to attain. And we see in Proverbs chapter 10 two verses, verses 13 and then verse 23. Proverbs 10 verse 13. It says, wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding. So we have wisdom and understanding linked together. And then also in verse 23, it says, to do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. There's a lot of words that are translated from this word wisdom, especially in the book of Proverbs. Here are some of them. Discipline, understanding, righteousness, prudence, instruction, training, insight, shrewdness, discretion, and knowledge. All of those are kind of bound in that very broad term, wisdom. So the person who is wise that wants to obtain wisdom, then that's the path he's going to follow. The path that leads to discretion and prudence and instruction and righteousness, that's the path the individual will follow if he wants wisdom. It's interesting that in the book of Proverbs, there are 8 different Hebrew terms translated fool. 8 different ones. I think there is something just in the fact that there's 8 different ones. 8 different types of people who the Holy Spirit informed Solomon and whoever else wrote the rest of these sayings in the book of Proverbs, that there are that many kind of foolish people. 8 different words that's translated fool. We're only going to primarily look at one, but listen to how some of them are defined. One is the naive, the simple, the gullible, the silly individual. That's one word that's translated fool. The one we're primarily going to look at tonight is one who is inherently stupid, dull, or obstinate. The third one, a stupid and stubborn person. Number four, one who's persistently foolish. Number five, a crude individual. Number six, a brute type person, a brutish person. Seven, an irrational, insane person. And number eight, a scorner or scoffer, a deliberate troublemaker, a foolish individual who is overly impressed with himself and his speech. That second definition of fool, the one that says one who is inherently stupid, dull, or obstinate, is used over 70 times in the Old Testament and almost exclusively in Proverbs and in Ecclesiastes. That is the type of foolish person that we want to talk about tonight. He is stupid, he is dull, and he's obstinate. What is this person? He's one that's not interested in being wise. Wisdom is attainable for him. Wisdom is out there. There's the path for him to follow, but he says, no, thank you. I'm just fine being stupid, dull, and obstinate. I don't want wisdom. I don't want that path. And so what does he do? Proverbs 15, verse 14, tells us what he does. It says there in Proverbs 15, verse 14, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. Have you ever met an individual like this? They are foolish and they want to continue to be foolish, and so they continue to feed on foolishness, foolish things. That's what they read. That's what they look at. They go to places that makes them more foolish. Foolish in God's eyes. And so that person, we see, is obstinate. Has no desire to be wise. And so that's the path they continue to follow. What does this person do for others? Nothing worthwhile. He doesn't exhort people to be wise. He doesn't admonish people to gain wisdom. He doesn't set an example for people to follow the path of the wise. He doesn't do any of those things. He's useless for the wise person. And he's going to continue to repeat all the foolish mistakes that he makes. Why? Because he doesn't have a desire to be wise. There's the idea of being obstinate. He refuses to learn. He refuses to come to a knowledge of what it is in the Bible that is wise. He says, no, I'm not going to, so I'm going to continue to make the same mistakes. And of course, those mistakes, first of all, come out of his mouth. This obstinate type of fool continues to say foolish things. In Proverbs 15, verse 2, it says, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. And it seems in some cases that it just builds on itself. Continues to pour out more and more foolishness. They say foolish things, and that leads to more foolish things. And more foolish things. That's the type of fool that Proverbs discusses here. He's obstinate. He doesn't want wisdom. He likes being foolish. This world, of course, is filled with people who are in that category. Think about how much the Bible, Old and New Testament, we will look at the New Testament as well, but think about how much space the Bible fills up with concern about those who are foolish. It's obviously something the Holy Spirit knew was important. So He wants us to avoid being a fool. Because a fool has no place in heaven. A fool won't see heaven from what we're going to see in these verses. He has no chance whatsoever. And his speech will ultimately destroy him. They said Ecclesiastes talked about this a little bit. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and notice in particular verse 12. Of course, this book written by Solomon, it's kind of an autobiography of Solomon's life. In verse 12 it says, "The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up." Will eat him up. His words will. Why? Because they are foolish words. Words that get him into more and more and more trouble. Isn't this true of someone who utters lies? The lies end up swallowing him up. They just get more and more and more. And it seems like he cannot stop that individual. He's foolish. He doesn't learn from his mistakes, so his mouth just gets him into more and more trouble. When we go back to Proverbs 10, we see a specific application of the foolish words that come out of the mouth of a fool and the kind of trouble that it gets that individual into. Proverbs 10, verse 18 says, "Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool." So he describes the fool as one who is slanderous. You know, spreads false rumors about people. So that person will ultimately be destroyed because of the fact that he is a fool, and a fool's words eventually catch up to him. Notice there is no timetable here. It doesn't say that the fool's words catch up with him within a week or a month or a year. It just says that the fool's words will catch up with him, will swallow him up, will destroy him eventually. Don't know when. It doesn't say. The fool, meanwhile, just goes on his merry way. He thinks he knows exactly where he's going. He trusts in his own thoughts. He trusts in his own plans. He trusts in his own purposes. He believes that he is going down the right way, apparently. Again, the word that's used is for someone who's stupid, dull, and obstinate. Refuses to make any changes. So he just continues down that path. And that path will not allow him to prosper. In Proverbs 28, in talking about the fool, notice verse 26. Proverbs 28, verse 26, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered." And there are so many examples in the Bible of the person who trusted in his own heart, trusted in his own ways, trusted in his own knowledge, and that person is a fool, he says. God said that person is a fool who trusts in his own heart. What does it mean to trust in your own heart? If I were to ask you to name a group of individuals in the Bible who would fit that category, I'm sure most of us would say the Pharisees. They trusted in their own heart. They trusted in themselves. That's where they put their faith and their belief, was in themselves, their own plans. They thought they needed nobody. That's what they thought. They were proud. And if there's one characteristic of the fool, is his pride. Is his pride. The proud will not listen to advice or warnings or encouragement or admonitions from anybody. If we go over to the book of Ecclesiastes again, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and especially verse 13, Ecclesiastes 4, verse 13. Better a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who will be admonished no more. Why was the king foolish? Because he wouldn't listen to admonitions anymore. He wouldn't listen to counsel or advice from anyone. He thought he knew everything that he needed to know. He wouldn't listen to the advice or the encouragement or the warnings from anybody, the Bible says. Nobody whatsoever. The fool is interested in pleasing himself. That's all. He's just interested in pleasing himself, finding pleasure in this life, and that's all. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, this is the chapter where Solomon talks about what is better. Something is better than something else. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, notice verse 4. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. The fools are concerned about having fun and making themselves feel good, regardless of the situation. Solomon says the wise person understands mourning and what you can learn from mourning. The foolish person doesn't want to learn. Again, he's dull, he's obstinate, not willing to learn. And so he's not going to learn. And so all he wants is to be in situations that make him feel good. Pleasure, mirth, happiness, what he thinks is happiness anyway. And that's what he wants. Ultimately, this person is really lazy. Lazy because he will not make those changes. He won't listen to the advice or the admonitions. He won't listen to, or he won't follow the example of the wise. He won't do any of those things. He's obstinate, and he is not going to put forth the effort to change when he should. Kind of along that same line in Proverbs 26. Notice Proverbs 26, verse 6. And we can learn so much from this verse. Proverbs 26, verse 6. He who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. You know what his point is? Don't put your trust in a fool. A fool's going to let you down. You can't rely on a fool to carry out your wishes and your desires. He'll end up bringing harm to you or to him or to somebody. He says it brings violence, harm. So you can't trust, put any reliance on someone who is foolish. The sad part of that, the sad part of this concept of foolishness is the writer goes to some length to discuss how shameful a foolish son or daughter is to their parents. Let's notice just a few of those. In Proverbs chapter 17, the writer says this in verse 21. He who begets gives birth to a scoffer, does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. The father of a fool has no joy. The father of someone who acts like the ones we've just talked about has no joy. And you can see why. After raising a child and seeing that child turn into someone like we have talked about, who's obstinate, takes the way of the fool, is one who speaks foolish things, follows foolish things, goes to places that are foolish, and on and on. In verse 25, it says, "A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him." Anyone that's going to walk the ways of a fool is going to be a source of bitterness to those parents, a source of grief, a source of sorrow. All you have to do is talk to a father or mother whose son or daughter has gone down the path of a fool, and you will find this by talking to them. Their grief, their sorrow, their bitterness about how their offspring has turned out. And there are countless verses in Proverbs that talk about the son or the daughter that chose the path of foolishness and how much hurt it brought to the parents. You know, the ultimate fate, it says, of the fool is destruction. In Proverbs 1, very first chapter of this book, notice verse 29, 29 and 32. "Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them." Didn't listen to God's counsel, turned away from His rebukes, despised them, hated knowledge, and ultimately, they were destroyed. The fool disregards wisdom. Wisdom is out there. Wisdom is something that he knows about, that he can obtain, but he's dull and he's obstinate. And he says no. And even to the point where he mocks sin. Proverbs 14, verse 9, the writer says, and uses those terms, Proverbs 14, verse 9 says, "Fools mock at sin." What does it mean to mock at sin? What do you do when you mock somebody? Don't you make fun of them? That's what you do. You make fun of them. So what do fools do? Fools make fun of sin. And of course, we look at our society, and our society makes fun of sin. It mocks sin. And it mocks us for saying that there's such a thing as sin. But yet the Bible is very clear. It's the fool who mocks sin, not the wise one. The wise person does what? Understands that there is sin. And it's the way of the fool. The fool believes that he's fine. He's self-righteous. In Proverbs 12, verse 15, we find these words. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame." What do I know about the way of a fool? It says here that it's right in his own eyes. He believes that everything he does is right. That's what it says. So he is self-righteous. He believes that all that he does is right. The way of the fool. I want to go to Ecclesiastes as we bring this lesson to a close. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, let's first of all notice verse 14. verse 13. "Then I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceive that the same event happens to them all." What about the wise man's eyes? They're in his head. But the fool walks in darkness. Remember what happened in the very first part of the book of John? Jesus came into the world, He was light, but people didn't like the light, did they? They wanted darkness. Why? Because their deeds were evil. They wanted darkness. They didn't want the light. They didn't want the light to shine to see that they were walking in sin. And so the world preferred darkness over light. And that's what the fool does. The fool prefers darkness over light. And so the fool goes through life pretending that he's wise, but knowing that he's dull and he's obstinate, and so he chooses the wrong path. The last verse I want to look at is in Luke chapter 11. When Jesus gives us a good description of the fool. This, of course, is the occasion when the Pharisees were with Him. They were following Him all the time. And they, had, over time, came up with all kinds of rules and regulations about outward cleansings and washings that were not part of the law of Moses in any way. But yet, they had made those traditions that they had came up with as important, if not more important, than the law of Moses. So verse 39 of Luke 11 says, "Then the Lord said to him, 'Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones! Did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you.'" The foolish ones, here the Pharisees, were just concerned about their outward appearance. And Jesus said, "You are the foolish ones. You're following the path that ultimately will lead to your destruction. The wise," He says, "are those who do what? Make sure that the inside is clean. Make sure that the inside is clean." Can we say our insides are clean? Have we been following the path of the foolish ones or the wise ones? Have we examined our speech and our actions? Are we following the wisdom as set forth in the Bible or the wisdom that we think of ourselves? Do we think that everything we do is right and we need nobody's advice, nobody's counsel, nobody's admonitions or exhortations? Which path are we following? And are our insides clean? That's what we have to be concerned with. When we say at the end of our service that we give an invitation, we mean that we have an opportunity to clean the inside. We can have our sins washed away by baptism, or we have our soul cleansed of sin, or we can come and ask for the prayers of the congregation if we're already part of that body of Christ and repent and ask for forgiveness. That's following the way of the wise. And if you need to follow that path tonight, I would encourage you to do so as we stand and sing this song.